Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. You know the old saying, what's in a name? Well, in the case of rock bands, everything from hastily chosen inside jokes to carefully selected literary references. Some band names are pretty straightforward. ABBA is an acronym formed by the members' first initials. But others, like Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah, are deliberately enigmatic. Joining us today is Adam Dulgens. He's the author of the book Band Names, From ABBA to ZZ Top, and he'll take us through some of the better and lesser-known examples, and we'll take some calls as well. Adam, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me.
So, rule of thumb, should a band's name express something about their music?
There is no real rule of thumb. Certainly there are many bands who have tried to say something very important, and others have deliberately tried to subvert that. You know, they pick names that are deliberately vague and don't pigeonhole them. So sometimes that, you know, when a band comes up with what they think is the perfect name, it kind of backfires. And sometimes the haphazard name that was chosen at the last minute turns out to be brilliant and opens doors because people want to know what does that mean.
Yeah. It strikes me that, you know, back in the day, if you were, a regular on the punk scene here in New York, there was a band that would occasionally play at some of the clubs, and their name would be listed in the paper as The Sick F**KS.
Yes.
And it always struck me that, number one, that was a name that kind of told you what kind of music to expect,
sure.
But number two, also meant that this band would never get played on the radio. So the choice of name was a real hindrance to them.
Absolutely. Unless they, you know, were sort of anti-commercial and they didn't care about that, you know.
All right, but let's assume that you're forming a band and you don't want to drive away any possibility of getting some kind of media exposure. Can a good name do that for you? Can it help you that way?
I think it can. I mean, you know, while you mentioned, I think you mentioned Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah, or at least we were discussing that earlier.
Yep.
You know, that either turns people off or it makes people say, well, I'm curious, I want to check that out. And I think now, in sort of the internet era, when there's just sort of a sea of bands that you have access to, a catchy name that might make you want to click and at least listen to the band. So,
well, it's funny because in London's Independent, they recently noted a trend towards band names based on rock and roll exclamations like the yeah, yeah, yeahs, the shout out louds, 5678s. And they included Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah,
right,
which is not where they got the name of that band. I mean, we've had the lead singer and founder of that band here on the show, and basically that they were going to their first gig. They didn't have a name. They look out the window. There's a Brooklyn warehouse, and somebody has scrawled the graffiti, Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah, across the wall of the building.
There's a long history of that. That's a time-honored tradition of, you know, the band Bread said they were stuck behind a bread truck making a delivery. And, like the Rolling Stones, you know, it's a Muddy Waters reference. But, you know, Keith Richards said it was completely haphazard. They were on the phone with the local paper. They had to, you know, place their ad for one of their early gigs. And the woman said, well, what's your name? And they hadn't really locked in on a name. And he said, you know, he just looked down and there was Brian was on the phone. He was sort of probably on the floor. And, you know, there was the album, and he just...
The Muddy Waters album.
Yeah, the Muddy Waters album. He said, well, how about that? And he said, you know, just like everything they've done, it was somewhat haphazard, but somehow it was the right name.
Actually, I had read many, many years ago that for a brief spell, the Stones were the Silver Rolling Stones. And if I'm not mistaken, the Beatles at some point were toying with the name the Silver Beatles.
I think
as well.
I didn't hear about the Stones, but I do know the Beatles were the Silver Beatles. Originally, John came up with the name with the Beatles, and he told another more successful band on the Liverpool scene, what do you think of this name? And he said, that's far too short. You need a name like Long John and the Silver Beatles, something that really kind of fills the marquee and gets attention. And so briefly, I think they did perform under that name. And, you know, of course, the Beatles was just kind of a silly pun on beat music, and it was a reference to the Crickets, who it turns out, you know, they actually considered calling themselves the Beatles because they picked their name out of an encyclopedia and came to an insect page, but they decided that the Beatles are just something you want to step on, and they chose the crickets because it was more musical.
But the Beatles went with the other bug and just changed the spelling, as you say, as an allusion to beat poetry and stuff.
And beat music. And the thing is, you know, I don't think we think about the pun. I mean, who thinks even about the name? When you're successful, it doesn't matter what the name is.
Exactly.
You know, it's unimportant.
And yet, many of us have had the experience of listening to a band and saying, where did they come up with that name?
Sure.
And so we're going to go to the phones. We'll open up the phones. And if you've ever had that experience with a rock band, you can call Adam up and we've got the book here. And we'll see if Adam can help you out. The number is 212-264-7483. 212-264-7483. Adam Dolgen's book is called Band Names, From ABBA to ZZ Top. And when did you first write the book?
The first edition came out in 93, and I've done two additional editions. But the last one came out in 98, so if it's any very recent band, I may know the story, I may not. So
okay.
I'm certainly stumpable.
So if I throw out, and you will know us by our Trail of Dead, nice name, but you don't know the backstory on that one.
You know, that is one of the names that sort of nags at me. It gnaws at me, and I say, you know, when you're reading the paper or you're online and you see certain names, you have to know. At least I have to know.
Okay.
There are others I just kind of, you know, the White Stripes, okay, you know, but a band like that, you know, you really want to know the story.
Yeah, I would be quite curious. So that'll have to be for edition four of Adam Dolgen's book. Let's start with Patrick here in Manhattan. Patrick, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, thank you very much. I am one of the most interesting band names that struck me was Death Cab for Cutie. I'm sure Adam would have something to say about that.
As I understand it, it comes from the Bonzo Dog Doodah band, or probably I'm mangling their name, the band in the 60s.
Exactly, because when I heard that name, they basically were an arts band. People basically said that they were sort of like the British Mothers of Invention at the time.
Right.
But I know Paul McCartney really liked them, and he had to convince John Lennon to get them to perform in Magical Mystery Tour.
Right.
And they performed Death Cab for Cutie in Magical Mystery Tour. They were the band during the striptease scene.
Uh-huh.
And what's interesting about the band, it was formed by Vivian Stanchel and Neil Innes.
Of Monty Python fame.
Yes. And they just released these DVDs of a show called Do Not Adjust Your Set, which came out. 10 episodes, and it featured Eric Idle, Terry Jones, and Michael Palin.
Hmm.
And then 6 months later, they went on to perform Monty Python. But the house band on these shows is the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band. And, of course, we know because of the relationship between Neil Innes and Eric Idle, they went on to form not only the Lumberjack song and all those and Spamalot songs, but also the Ruddles.
The later. Ruddles, yeah.
Right.
So it's interesting that it's a name that has a piece of British comedy history.
It's got a lot going for it. All right, Patrick, that's a good start. Thank you for the call. And let's move along then to Stuart in Brooklyn. Stuart, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Great. I love the topic of the show, and I couldn't let the thing go by without bringing up bands like Steely Dan and 10cc that have wonderfully obscene names that folks won't necessarily know by hearing them.
Yes, well, it's interesting. Steely Dan is a reference to, let's say, a sexual aide in a William Burroughs novel, Naked Lunch, and it squirted milk. And so, yeah, that was, I guess, a very subversive reference because, you know, if you just hear the name Steely Dan, you might think, oh, that's maybe their cat or you know a roadie or something like that, and then when you find out what the reference really is, you know, you see sort of the sinister side of that, and it perhaps makes the band more interesting. And 10cc, you know, that's one of those bands that had sort of lots of rumors swirling about the name, but according to I think it was Jonathan King, the British impresario who managed the band, they're originally called I think they're called Hot Legs. Maybe I'm thinking of some other band. But he said in a dream, he He dreamt that he was managing a band that had a simultaneous number one single on the British and American charts, and it was called 10cc. And he simply said the next day, "I'm calling you guys 10cc, like it or not." And he claims that there was no reference. It was not a wet dream, he said.
Right.
He said it was not any. It was just a number and two letters, and it didn't mean cubic.
It was supposed to be the amount of ejaculate.
Male ejaculate.
Yes.
I didn't want to go there. But,
right. Well, right. But I mean, that's what the rumor was.
Right.
But, I interviewed those guys many years ago. I'm not going to be precise on the date, but that's what they said, that it was the dream story,
right.
That the other thing was just rumor and not at all true.
Well, it's amazing how many bands will, they'll pick a name, haphazardly, or, someone in the band had their way, and then they realize they were stuck with it, and they either made up stories or, the fans made up stories when the band wasn't forthcoming, and so this mythology grew around the band.
All right. Stuart, thanks for the call. We've actually, Adam had a couple of people calling and asking about Death Cab for Cutie, so that was obviously a big name for our audience here. Adam Dulgens is author of the book Band Names, From ABBA to ZZ Top. Let's take a call from TC here in New York. Hi, TC.
Hey there. I wanted to talk about a couple of bands. UB40 is one of them, because I always thought they had a really interesting way that they found their name.
Yeah. You have that one at hand, Adam?
That was the unemployment benefits form in England, and, unemployment at the time was rampant in England, so...
I heard that all the members of the band were actually unemployed when they formed the band.
I had heard that, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, who knows where rumor... it's sort of like the gangster rappers, I was shot five times when I was 12,
Yeah.
It's interesting to think who that might appeal to as an audience.
Right. Well, it's also one of those, UB40, I probably to the American audience doesn't mean, it's like U2 or REM. You don't really, you can impute whatever you want.
Well, I want to ask you about U2 because it's a piece of military hardware.
Right, well.
And I never understood why such a pacifist-leaning band.
Well, they were a young band and they were looking for, advice similar to the Beatles. And I think it was the lead singer of another Dublin band that was more successful who said, the name that whatever name they had at the time or were considering, he said, that's rubbish. You need something strong. You need something, memorable. And, U2, while it could be a reference to a spy plane, there are also any other number of references. You can think of it as inclusive, like you also.
Yes, I didn't know if it might be that. There was one other that I wanted to mention, if you have a second.
Sure.
And that was the band that was the first band on the Apple label, and that's Badfinger.
Right.
And I never quite understood the reference.
I have to open the book and check, because I did interview... one of the members of the band, and
the book is called Band Names, by the way, From ABBA to ZZ Top, and Adam Dulgens is my guest on Soundcheck. If you can't get through on the phone lines, you can email us soundcheck@wnyc.org, and if you have stories of band names that you think are particularly successful or dramatically unsuccessful, email us, and we'll have that on our next letters segment. All right, so Adam, Badfinger?
So it was the head of Apple Records at the time who came up with the name. Again, it was an external name, allegedly, it was from an old blues record called Badfinger Boogie, a piano record, as they said, and... they were, I think they were called the Ivies at the time, and he said it's sort of a shabby kind of name.
Okay. All right. I'm kind of surprised. I mean, we're out of time, and I'm sorry, there are a lot of people on the line. No one apparently has asked about Three Dog Night, which to me, growing up as a kid, it was like, what the heck is Three Dog Night? You got a quick answer before
sure.
we go?
Well, the short answer is in the Australian outback, it's an Aboriginal term. If it's a very, very cold night, it's a three dog night because you need to sleep with three dogs up against you to keep
you
warm.
I get it.
But that was, I think, taken from like a National Geographic article. The lead singer's girlfriend said, "How about this?" And they said, "Well, why not?"
Cool. Pass the bong. Three dog night sounds just fine to me. Yeah.
Precisely.
Broken Social Scene joining us in a moment. What do you think of that name?
I think it's a great name. I'd love to know how they got it.
All right, we'll do a little research for you for the next edition of the book in just a moment.
Excellent.
We've been speaking to Adam Dulgens. The book is Band Names, from ABBA to ZZ Top. Thanks to everyone who called. Email us if you like, soundcheck@wnyc.org. Broken Social Scene, 15 members strong. We've got a couple of them representing this traveling music party. Joining us in just a moment, this is Soundcheck.
Hi, kids. Do you like Primus?
Yeah,
wanna
yeah.
see me stick 9-inch nails to each one of my eyelids?
Uh-huh.
Wanna copy me and do exactly like I did? Uh-huh. Try to sit and get messed up worse than my life is? My brain's dead weight. I'm trying to get my head straight, but I can't figure out which Spice Girl I wanna impregnate. And Dr. Dre said,
Slim Shady, you a pivot.